translation, all the great sages like Parvata Muni, Narada, Drunamaya, Vyas, the incarnation of God, Bhadravasva, Bhadravaj, and Parashuram, and the disciples, Vishita, Indra Pramada, Trita, Kritismada, Asita, Kalashvan, Gautama, Atri, Kurushaka, and Sudarshan were present. So I should just start off. I've read the. It's quite a, it's about a page and a half. So, in Indra Pramada is another celebrated rishi. Trita, one of the three sons of Prajapati Gautama, he was the third son, and their two brothers were known as Ikat and Devata. All their brothers were great sages and strict followers of the principles of religion. By dint of severe penances, they were promoted to Brahmaloka, the planet where Brahma lives. Once Trita Muni fell into a well. He was organizing work. He was an organizing worker of many sacrifices and one of the great sages. He also came to show respect to Bhishmaji at his deathbed. He is one of the seven sages in the Varuna Loka. He hailed from the western countries of the world. As such, most probably he belonged to the European countries. At that time, the whole world was under one Vedic culture. Kritismada, one of the sages of the heavenly kingdom. He was close friend of Indra, the king of heaven, and was as great as Braspati. He used to visit the royal assembly of Maharaj Yudhisthira and also visited the place where Bhishmadev breathed his last. Sometimes he explained the glories of Lord Shiva before Maharaj Yudhisthira. He was the son of Vitrahavaya, and he resembled in features of the body the features of the body of Indra. Sometimes enemies of Indra mistook him to be Indra and arrested him. He was a great scholar of the Rig Veda, and he was highly respected by the Brahmana community. He lived a life of celibacy and was very powerful in every respect. Asita. He was a king of. There was a king of the same name, but herein this Asita mentioned is Asita Devala Rishi, the great powerful sage of the time. He explained to his father 1,500 verses from the Mahabharata. He was one of the members of the snake sacrificer Maharaj Jamaya. He was also present during the incarnation ceremony of Maharaj Yudhisthira, along with other great rishis. He also gave Maharaj Yudhisthira instructions while he was on the Agyana Hill. He also was one of the devotees of Lord Shiva. Kalashavan, one of the sons of Gautama Muni and the father of the great sage Kundashika. He was one of the members of the parliament of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Atri Muni was a great Brahmana sage and one who was one of the mental sons of Brahmaji. Brahmaji was so powerful that simply by thinking of a son, he can have it. These sons were known as Manasaputras, One of the seven Manasaputras, the Brahmaji, and out of the seven great Brahmana sages, Atri was one. In his family, the great Prachetas were also born. Atri Muni had two Kshatriya sons who became kings. King Atamana is one of them. He is counted as one of the 21 Prajapatis. His wife's name was Anasuya, and he helped Maharaj Parikshit in his great sacrifices. Kushashika, one of the permanent Rishi members of the Royal Assembly of Maharaj Yudhisthira. He sometimes met Lord Krishna. There are several other sages of the same name. Sadashan, this will, which is accepted by the personality of Godhead, Vishnu or Krishna, as his personal weapon, is the most powerful weapon, greater than the Brahmastras or similar other disastrous weapons. In some of the Vedic literature, it is said that Agnidev, the fire god, presented this weapon to Lord Sri Krishna. But factually, this weapon is eternally carried by the Lord. Agnidev presented this weapon to Krishna in the same way that Romini was given by Maharaj Rukma to the Lord. The Lord accepts such presentations from his devotees, even though such presentations are eternally his property. There is an elaborate description of this weapon in the Adipava of the Mahabharata. Lord Sri Krishna used his weapon to kill Shishupal, the rival of the Lord. He also killed Salva with this weapon, and sometimes he wanted his friend Arjuna to use it to kill his enemies. Mahabharata, Pravit and Prava, 56:3. Okay. So, reading this purport, here it is. In the Treta Muni, its section, it says here that the brothers of great sages and strict followers of the principles of religion. Yesterday, I was listening to a class by Srila Prabhupada, and he was talking about the principles of religion. And Prabhupada, in this class, sometimes Prabhupada gives different definitions of the same word. In this lecture, Prabhupada was talking about the principles of religion. And religion, Prabhupada was describing it, was that is to understand and love Krishna. This is the principle of religion. Never forget Krishna and always remember him. And of course, it's very difficult to understand and love Krishna, but if we follow the instructions given by these great sages and also our previous acharyas, and then the spiritual master, he actually repeats these instructions. So the principles of religion is, as I said, by the previous acharyas. Now, One of our previous acharyas is, of course, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And in his book, in the book Jiva Dharma, he describes that unless one understands the principle, the fundamental principles of religion, which is Sambandha, Abhideya, and Projan, one will not understand this Krishna consciousness philosophy. So later on, in the same book, Bhaktivinoda Thakur he elaborates even more in the form of it's called this section is called the Dasmula Tattva. It means ten essential tattvas or truths or siddhanta, and it's broken down by the first verse. The first verse is Amyaya para tatvam harim hiha param sava saktim rasabahim tadvim hamsams chajivam prakti gevalatam tad fiktmantams chabavat bedavatata praksasam shakalam api hari sadhanam sura bhaktim samyatra pratim evata prachati Janam Gora Chandra Swayam Saha. The nine profounded truths, Pramaya Tattva. Shri Krishna is the supreme absolute truth. Sava Shaktiman, Shri Hari is omnipotent. Akila Rasvinta Sindhu. Shri Hari is the shoreless ocean of unlimited nectarine mellows. Vivavamsa Tattva. The entire range of liberated and conditioned jivas are Shri Jiva's eternal separated parts and parcels and comprises Jiva Shakti. Jiva, Bada Jiva, the conditioned Jiva, is infected by Maya. Moksha Jiva, the liberated Jiva, who is free from Maya. Achinchitata Tattva, or the conditioned, so all creation, either material or spiritual, is a manifestation of Shri Hari's inconceivable potency, which is simultaneously different and non-different from the Lord Himself. Sudha Bhakti, pure devotional service, which is the only practice, sadhana, to attain perfection. And 10, the transcendental Krishna priti, transcendental love and affection for Krishna, and his one and only final object of attainment, Sajja priti. So the first sloka is the pranam. That means for the Vedic proof coming from the parampara, then the other nine is prameya, which is actually spoken from the Vedas. So from 2 to 7, the first three is Krishna Tattva. Then, 2, 3, 1, Two to five is Krishna Tattva. Six to... Then the other three is Jiva Tattva. And then the number eight is where Lord Titania reconciles the two in the Achinta Chaita Tattva philosophy. He reconciles the two. And then number nine is the Abhideya, which is service according to one's relationship with Krishna. And then number 10 is the attainment, which is the Prajan. Now, yesterday I also heard a nice class. It's scientific class in one sense, but the point I got out of it was that the speaker was saying how important it is to follow our parampara. And he gave the example of if one is doing mathematics, if one is doing trigonometry, where you go with angles, and if you're working with angles in mathematics, and if one is just 1 degree out, then the whole thing, the result will be, there'd be no result because the result will be the wrong result because you'll be 1 degree out. Because if you're one degree out, then that 1 degree will become 3 degrees, and it will increase. So one will not come to the right conclusion. So similarly, if we stick to what our previous acharyas said, that without any deviation, we will actually come to the right conclusion, even though it may be sometimes difficult to understand. So this is where the living spiritual master comes in, because he's the spiritual master. They know the Siddhanta, they know the conclusions. So then what we do not understand, he can actually, if we submissively inquire, Tavitipa Pratena, then he can actually help us. He can inform us, and he can help us understand. So we have to keep these. We have to just keep in line what the acharyas say, the acharyas are great. Our acharyas, they're no ordinary personalities. They're generally manjaris in the spiritual world, and so they know what they're talking about. Because some come in Krishna Leela, and some come in Gaura Leela, and some come in both. So just like Rupa Manjari in Krishna Leela, he comes as Rupa Goswami in Gaura Leela. So we have to keep in line with the with the chariots. We should not deviate, even though sometimes what is seen is like inconceivable to us to understand. But the spiritual master, the self-realized spiritual master, he will inform us and he can make us understand these things. That what the acharyas say. So this dasmula tattva, as I explained previously. So the first six is the sambandha, and basically it's that we are eternal. We are eternally separated eternally separated entities of Krishna, and. But due to our size, infinitesimal size, even though the spirit soul, we as spirit soul, the spirit soul is powerful, but due to our size, Bhagavan Thakur explains, due to our size, one tenth of a tip of a hair, we can fall down to Krishna's Maya Shakti. This is why, even though the spirit soul is very powerful, it's so powerful that we're not even born, we don't even die. We have to understand this, we don't even die. We're not even born, we're eternal. We have to understand this, but due to our size, we are prone to fall to Maya. And the soul is pure. But because, again, due to our size, we become conditioned to the material world. Then again, Lord Caitanya, by his Achinta Chaita Tattva philosophy, reconciles the two. And therefore, according to our relationship with Krishna, we get a service. Our service we have is related to our relationship with Krishna in this material world. And then once we attain that, once our service is perfected, we in this world, then we attain the goal of life. So now it says here also in some other rishi, he was there when Bhishma Dev left his body. Now it's mentioned in the, we know Bhishma Dev, he had this boon that he could leave his body whenever he wanted. So it says in Navadvipa Bhava Taranga by Bhakti Thakur. Now Bhakti Thakur, he wrote three separate volumes of this Navadvipa books. One was the Pranam. The first one was the scriptural evidence of the holy Dharma of Mayapur Dham. The second one we know is Navadvipa Mahatma. And the third one, Navadvipa Bhava Taranga, is when Bhagavan Thakur is walking around doing a parakram by himself, and he enters the stage of Bhava. So he comes to one place in Moldrandweep. That's those who know Mayapur, that's where Mamgachi is, and the birthplace of Vrindavan Das Thakur and the birthplace of Malini, the wife of Srivast Thakur. And also some of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, after he left to take sannyas, also stayed in that area for some time. So there's one place called there, it's called Bhishma Tila. Tila means hill. And as he's going through Modwandweep, he sees Bhishma Dev there as a brahmachari, because we know Bhishma Dev, he lived as, you know, he took a vow not to get married so his father could marry, so his father could remarry. So Bhagavan Thakur in his bhav, he sees Bhishma Dev there, dressed as a brahmachari doing japa. And Bhagavan Thakur asks him, "How come you're here?" He said, "One time I had darshan of Lord Chaitanya. And when I was on my bed of arrows leaving, I was thinking of Lord Chaitanya." As I was lying on the bed of arrows, because I had darshan of Lord Chaitanya, he was so beautiful, I desired to go to the place where Lord Chaitanya resides. So I came here. So that place is in Modwandweep. It's one of the few places I didn't go to, because some people may not know here. I was in Mayapur for 4 years, and I used to take devotees on parakram, so I know most of the places, but I didn't go to that place. There was one great soul there. He's not here no more in this world. He's like a modern day sage, I would call him. His name was, he used to be in Mamgachi. His name was Jagat Bandhu. And he used to serve the deities of the deities of there, and he, at the age of 11, his spiritual master was a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur, and at the age of 11, this Jagat Bandhu Prabhu, he was instructed to go to Mamgachi and look after the deities at age of 11. And he describes that place. There was long grass, mud roads, dirt roads, and he could hear the tigers roaring in the background. And he could see them roaming around as well. But he remembered his orders of his Gurudev, and he served those deities for, he left in 80, he was 85, so he served those deities about 65 years, non-stop. And so when I read this purport, I'm urgently thought of Jagat Bandhu Prabhu. And he used to walk double, those who knew him, he used to walk double. And he would take bath in the Ganga every day. And so that's the place. So Bhishma Tila is near there. Apparently, I haven't been myself, but it's near there. And so we have. So he was a very strict person. He was very strict. He would always go. Because he always used to read the, somehow or other he got a Bengali Bhagavatam from somewhere. And he would always read that Bhagavatam, always. He would sleep outside all year round, even in the winter. And the Ganga in the winter is very cold as well. So he told me he couldn't speak English. But through a Bengali interpreter, I asked him, he said, you're reading this Bengali Bhagavatam. He says, so I asked him, he says, yes, I follow whatever this Bhagavatam says and whatever the acharyas say. If the acharyas say this, we have to follow, because if we don't, we can easily fall down from spiritual life and deviate. So, and he was also stressing that we should follow what the acharyas say. So we should follow what the acharyas say, and if we're not sure, if we can't understand what they're saying, we should consult a self-realized soul who's actually understood what you can't understand, and then we'll never deviate. So then I'll finish here. Any questions, comments, or